Today we continue our series on the zealous Christian. These messages are somewhat based on the book Heaven Taken by Storm. A subtitle to that book would be Showing the Holy Violence. A Christian is to put forth in the pursuit after glory. Well, we live in a day when violence has perhaps taken on a new meaning, or at least a different meaning. What is meant by violence is a heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. That's the kind of violence we're talking about. It's opposed to an apathetic, ho-hum, take it or leave it attitude. Our life must be characterized with zeal, enthusiasm, ardent zeal, and even intense exertion. And we've been showing that in the areas that concern the Christian life. Our approach to the Word of God. How is that approach? Indifferent? Casual? Or is it with some kind of intent? Intense effort. The Word of God read, the Word of God preached, the Word of God memorized and meditated upon. Our worship. How do we sing? From the heart, from the soul? Do we seek to put some volume into that singing? There are other areas of the Christian life. Meditation. Prayer. All of these things should be characterized by intense effort on our part. There's another area in which it is absolutely, positively required that we exercise this ardent zeal, and that is in the area of spiritual warfare. There's a real battle going on. It's a spiritual battle. For the most part, it is an unseen battle. We read about it quite providentially. Our consecutive reading took us this day to the very passage that I'm preaching on. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 24. Let me summarize it for you. We have here directions in reference to spiritual conflict. Such a conflict is inevitable. It cannot be avoided. Try as you may, hide as you may, withdraw as you may. So the fact that it is inevitable means that the believer should seek to manifest strength, to possess strength, to have that strength. He should seek to get that strength from his relationship from Christ. Since his enemies are not human but superhuman, Satan and all the powers of darkness, the believer needs not only more than human strength, he needs to add to that strength divine armor. He should therefore take up the armor for the purpose of being able to stand and withstand in the evil day. That armor consists of the following. It is the knowledge and reception of the truth. We've been emphasizing that now for several weeks. It is to be found in the righteousness of Christ. That armor is to be found in the readiness which flows from the peace of the gospel. That armor is to be found in a conscious awareness of our salvation. It is to be found in faith. And last of all, it is to be found in the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Prayer is an essential ingredient. Praying at all times, we are told. Not hit and miss. Discipline in the prayer life. Prayers of all kinds. Prayers on every occasion. Importunate and persevering prayers. Prayers aided by the Holy Spirit. Prayer for all the saints. I want to read a fairly lengthy quote by Charles Hodge. So I tell you from the beginning, it is a rather lengthy quote. I beg your attention. We may pause to comment as we move through this quote. His quote is a description of this battle. So let's see how Charles Hodge, a theologian, is going to give us a description of this spiritual battle. Please listen carefully. Though the redemption purchased by Christ, as described in this epistle, that is, the book of Ephesians, is so complete and free, yet, between the beginning and the consummation of that salvation, there is an ongoing conflict. Yes, salvation is free, purchased by the blood of Christ, my comments. But what he is saying, that from the very beginning that you're saved until you find yourself in the presence of God, there is a constant and ongoing battle, conflict, war that's going on. The Christian conflict is not only real, it is difficult, it is dangerous, it is one in which true believers are often grievously wounded, and multitudes of reputed believers entirely succumb. Dear people, that's serious warfare. Extremely serious. He goes on, it is one also in which great mistakes are often committed and serious loss incurred from ignorance of its nature. So he said the casualties come many times because people are ignorant, they're unaware of the issue of the battle. He goes on to say that they're ignorant of the appropriate means for engaging in the warfare. Men are apt to regard it as a mere moral conflict between reason and conscience on the one side and evil passions on the other. That's not the real issue. Part of it. They therefore rely on their own strength and upon the resources of nature for success. Against these mistakes, the apostle warns his believer. And that's by giving them instruction that we have here in the book of Ephesians. The conflict is not between the good and the bad principles of our nature. He shows that we belong to a spiritual as well as a natural world and are engaged in a combat in which the higher powers of the universe are involved. And that this conflict on the issue of which our salvation depends is not to be carried on with straws picked up by the wayside. Ardent zeal. Ardent zeal. And as we have superhuman enemies to contend with, we need not only superhuman strength, but divine armor and arms. The weapons of our warfare are not natural, but divine. There is to be, first of all, now, this is not his quote, strength as a branch separated from the vine, or as a limb severed from the body, so is a Christian separated from Christ. We receive this strength from Christ and our union with him and our communion with him. It's the very source of our strength. He therefore who rushes into the conflict without thinking of Christ, without putting his trust in him, without continually looking to him for strength and regarding himself as a member of his body, deriving all life and vigor from him, is going to be a casualty. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God. Why? Why do that? Why bother? That you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The devil is a master schemer. You're no match for him, ever, without deriving strength from Christ, without knowing how to be engaged in the battle. If one word could summarize, I guess, what we've been saying up to this point, it's the emphasis on our prayer, on our communion with God. That's where it's the source of the strength that we need. Well, that's all fine and good. But the next issue is the armor. What are you going to do with it? There it is. We are taught from the very outset that the strength which we need is not from ourselves, so neither are the means of offense and defense. The strength itself to carry on is not ours, neither are the various parts of the armor ours. The armor is both defensive as well as offensive. So the believer has not only to defend himself, but the believer also is to attack his spiritual enemies, and both are necessary. The armor is not something man thought up. It's not of man's devising. And I believe this truth has been overlooked throughout the ages, even in the people of God. Because I believe that there has been this tendency, instead of relying on the arms that God has provided, consciously relying, men have always been disposed to trust those things and those resources which provide for themselves, or resources that have been prescribed by others. Such as total isolation from the world. Ascetic and ritual observances. Invocation of the saints and angels. Celibacy. Voluntary poverty. Monastic obedience. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Colossians 2:18. Let's look at this list Paul gives us concerning things that could be not certified biblical armor. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and in the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, from which the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, Why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refers to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion. Did you get those words? Self-made religion. Self-abasement, severe treatment of the body, but look what it says. But are no value against fleshly indulgence. And there's warfare with that fleshly indulgence. But where is the success in fighting against it? Not in these things, but in the prescribed, I say it for emphasis, certified armor of God. I guess we could put it this way. Divine armor is absolutely requisite for the battle against the things that we have to fight. Other armor isn't going to work. Bear with me as I share another quote. This time the whole quote is from William Hendrickson. But I want you to get the language that he is using and the truth that he is setting before us. He says, if Satan and satanic influence are fables of figures, then all the rest of the representations concerning this spiritual conflict is an empty metaphor. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying these things are real. They're not fables. They're not fairy tales found here in Ephesians. He goes on to say, but if one part of this representation is literally true, the other has a corresponding depth and reality of meaning. If Satan is really the prince of the powers of darkness, ruler and god of this world, if he is the author of physical and moral evil, the great enemy of God, of Christ and of his people, full of cunning and malice, if he is constantly seeking whom he may destroy, seducing men into sin, blinding their minds, and suggesting evil and skeptical thoughts. He said, if all of that is true, and a reality, then to be ignorant of it, or to deny it, or to enter on this conflict as though it were merely a struggle between the good and the bad principles of our own hearts, is to rush headlong into destruction. I don't know how else to put it more graphically. Those are choice words, and he is setting before us the truth, the reality. And just because we don't necessarily see it with our eyes doesn't mean that it isn't a reality. There are a lot of things going on that are realities that we don't see. When Paul is writing these truths under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what is he doing? He is seeking to shock us into reality, to awaken us, lifting the veil, disclosing for us something of the spiritual world that's going on. Our conflict is not with man. Our conflict is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are evil spirits. These are rulers of darkness. Perhaps you have your Bible still open to Ephesians 6. If you do, would like to open your Bible to Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Two little words. Perhaps you've overlooked them. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. A lot of theology in those two little words. The evil day. That day refers to a definite day when the enemies previously mentioned and described will make their assault. In other words, those two little words ought to keep us on the alert at all times. There are no truces, there are no vacations. It is constant, morning, noon, and night, on your way to work, on your way home. Always be prepared. Well, I'm giving you a lot of quotes, but I see in these quotes words that are so important. I want you to hear them. In Ephesians 1:4, we have, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." Truth. How much truth do you know? How much truth can you handle? Charles Hodge. Charles Hodge says, "By truth here is not meant to be understood divine truth as objectively revealed," listen carefully, "the word of God, for that is mentioned in the following verse as the sword. Nor does it mean sincerity of mind, for that is a natural virtue and does not belong to the armor of God, which according to the context consists of supernatural gifts and graces." Listen carefully. What does this word truth mean? It means truth subjectively considered, that is, the knowledge and belief of the truth. This is the first and indispensable qualification for a Christian soldier to enter on his spiritual conflict. Ignorant or doubting would be to enter the battle blind and lame. Do you see the essential part that truth plays in the spiritual battle? It is a prerequisite. He goes on to say, and this is the end of his quote, "As the girdle gives strength and freedom of action and therefore confidence," here it is, "so does the truth when spiritually apprehended and believed." God, I believe, has impressed upon us over these past weeks our response to the truth. Truth spiritually apprehended and believed. Let me carefully warn, let not anyone imagine that he is prepared to withstand the assaults of the powers of darkness if his mind is stored with his own theories and with speculations from other men. Nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth that God has given us, clearly understood, cordially embraced, will ever enable him to keep from falling. Before the demons of darkness. Well, having said, having your girded your loins with truth, Ephesians 6:14 says that we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. When Paul desired for himself was not to have his own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God. Please listen as we read the words of Philippians 3:8. Paul says this: "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from him." Doubtless, this is the righteousness which he urges the believers to have as a breastplate of armor. It is an infinitely perfect righteousness. Righteousness consisting of the obedience and sufferings of the Son of God. A righteousness which satisfies all the demands of the divine law and justice, and which is a sure defense against any and every assault, whether from within or from without. Next, the feet. The feet. Preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Why would the feet be so important? Well, that warfare back then required hand-to-hand combat. And hand-to-hand combat is very swift. And to be effective in attacking the enemy and or defending yourself, it was very important that there be swiftness of foot. That was the mark of a good soldier. What does he say about the feet? Shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The simplest interpretation and that best suits the context. Let me give it to you in these words. Your feet shod with the alacrity which the gospel of peace gives. Let me repeat that. Your feet shod with the alacrity which the gospel of peace gives. You see, the gospel secures our peace with God. The gospel assures our being in favor with God, which produces that joyful readiness of mind which is essential to success in any spiritual conflict. Doubt tends to weakness. Despair in the battle, the heat of the battle, is certain death. What do we need? We need alacrity. We need that joy of the gospel filling our hearts and lives. not moping around. Spiritual awareness is so vital to victory, spiritual victory. Well, I believe we're going to pause here in our sermon. We have some other pieces of armor to deal with, some other issues of the spiritual battle that are quite necessary. So let's pray and ask God to write these truths upon our hearts and make them a part of our life. Father, make us more aware of what's going on. Help us not to be so oblivious to such essential, vital matters as the reality of a spiritual battle that constantly surrounds us. We thank you for the inspired Word of God, which clearly sets before us the matter. We pray that where we may have fallen into spiritual unawareness or spiritual drowsiness, that you will shake us and awaken us and help us to be on the alert and to know the armor and to have the armor and to use the armor. We might know spiritual victory every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.